So the first thought I'd just like to start us off with is, I always find it very interesting in the Word of God when the Lord Himself is the one who is bringing forth a particular thought. There are portions of Scripture where the Spirit of God guides men to say certain things, and that's always wonderful because it's under the guidance of the Spirit. But in Numbers chapter 6, as we begin this thought on Nazariteship, it says, the Lord spoke unto Moses. And this is a direct edict, if you would, from the Lord Himself. And it places an importance, young people, upon what is going to come afterwards. When the Lord speaks, we often say it's very, very important that we listen. And it says, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when, or I understand that word is better translated, if, either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate from these things. The key here is that this word, if, it gives us the thought that this is something that is not forced upon you or I. That as young people and as believers, God delights in the fact when there is something spiritual that emanates from our own desire, a desire to be devoted to Him, as what we're going to see here, a desire to run after Him. And so this is something that is not restricted to either male exclusively or female, but it's when either a male or female desires to separate themselves, there are things that follows that. And so I think it's important as young people, the individual aspect that is being brought here is that God wants you and I to have spiritual desires that emanate from our own love for Him that would then say, I want to do this or that for the Lord.
Just as a quick side note, because I had this question before I came, maybe some other people had this question too. Does this word Nazarite have anything to do with Nazareth? You know, Jesus being of Nazareth, anything like that? If you have the King James, it's translated as N-A-Z-A-R. But that's, and because people assumed, okay, it has something to do with Nazareth, that's not really correct. The two words don't have any shared meaning at all. Nazarite, with it, the correct spelling is N-A-Z-I-R, is one of those words like baptism or apostle where the translators, for whatever reason, sometimes it was political reasons, they decided to keep the original wording. Like when the Anglican Church translated King James, the King James Bible into English, the word baptisma became baptism instead of immersion, which is what it literally means, just because for political reasons, King James didn't want baptism to be translated as immersion because that went against the Church of England. So the literal meaning of Nazarite is really just a separated one, someone who is separated. So just something to keep in mind.
Mentioned that the Lord spoke unto Moses here, and we know Moses wrote Genesis, but really there's four books where he was spoken to: Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Is there any significance to this being in Numbers as opposed to the other four where Moses was walking and being instructed by the Lord?
That's a very good question, because I was thinking just exactly the same thing a moment ago, and you asked a question. All of the instruction about what you eat, what you touch, what you do is really in the book of Leviticus. But just, I'm sure every one of you have his outline with him, and there is enough pages in there so you can take notes. So I want to make sure that you kind of write these things down. The book of Numbers is a book of the wilderness. It's a book of the desert. It is a book where you are surrounded with everything opposing and trying to hinder you from reaching to the land, to reaching what God had promised you. So in that period of time, God is looking for how his people will continue to walk. So it is significant that is mentioned in the book of the wilderness, in the book that where everything after chapter 10 in the book of Numbers is opposing the children of Israel from going into the land. And it is applicable to our time today because we are on our way to glory, and there are much hindrance to hinder us from going there, obtaining that.
So while certainly that being a Nazarite specifically was is a spiritual choice, separation isn't. We are to be separate. That's not just a choice, a spiritual leading. That is something for every single one that belongs to Christ. We learn that from 2 Corinthians 6, when we're told to not to be unequally yoked. We're told to be separate. So what could would the difference be then? We have the spiritual walk and the walk of separation, but here with the Nazarite, it goes hand in hand. You have that choice to be a Nazarite, but being a Nazarite specifically means to be separate.
It might help to understand in a practical way for Christians, Nazariteship is the truth of living out Christianity in a practical way. Because we all know as Christians we are separated unto God, nothing will change that. But it is the Nazariteship vow brings the practical aspect and the purpose of heart in the heart of a believer wants to live in a way that is separated from the things of this world and unto God. And the question always remains, what's the purpose of it? We never read of anybody taking such a vow except the coming of the Lord Jesus, where he would say, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine. I will not. The only one who said in his person, I will not. And it's like any other truth. What God has in mind when he presents us with a truth like this is that you and I might be conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus. So let's keep this in mind today as we are studying this subject, that God wants us to be conformed, to behave, to speak, and to act like the Lord Jesus, and it's all seen in this truth of Nazareth.
Quick question to that. When you said that Jesus is the one who took that vow of saying, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine, he said that at the Last Supper, right? That's what you're referring to?
Yes.
So he wasn't a Nazarite, you know, all his life. He didn't choose to be one, you know, during the 3 years of his ministry here on earth. It was right before he was about to die, he said, until I come again, I won't drink of the fruit of the vine. Is that right?
No, he was a Nazarite his entire life. And you can see it in the marriage feast of the marriage at Cana of Galilee, where he turned water into wine, but his mother comes to him because they had run out of wine, which when we get to this in the next couple of verses, reminds us of that which is natural joy. And he says, what do I have to do with you? His purpose was not to be taken up with the natural joys of this life. And I think that the principle that Brother John was speaking of here with I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the coming kingdom is that he recognized that his disciples, though, there was that which they could naturally enjoy from the earth here. But he did not in any way not live up to the vow of true Nazariteship. So at the wedding feast, he gives that so that there is that joy that's associated with the marriage. There's the wine that which is natural to man. And even while he sits with his disciples on the Passover night, that which was associated with it, he says, here's for you. But he says, the joy that I am looking forward to is the coming kingdom. So I think that's the application. So the Lord is the true Nazarite. Remember, we see everything in him in a very perfect way. And just as a side thought is that there is coming a day that's implied there that he will drink. Mm-hmm. Right? So you have the thought that he will not be a Nazarite forever, but that when he takes of the fruit of the vine, he will be enjoying the fruit of his works that you see culminated in the coming kingdom.